some hath light and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Every word I quote was a one syllable word. Can I tell you? Does anybody in this building got to understand what I said? If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't, you don't. Got it? You got the message? Why don't you start something clear? Imagine if I was starting in the Bible about Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10 or Matthew 16. Wouldn't that be a dumb thing to do? How stupid can you get, brother? That's why God laid a foundation out of light bulbs. And then the wind as he puts in cement blocks. He's a coach. Did you know that you can't learn how to do trigonometry, linear calculus, and plane geometry until you learn arithmetic? Did you know that? I think you know that. Let me ask you this. Why is it you know that and you understand what I'm saying? Can you write a book before you learn how to do that? Try it. Can you play Bach and Beethoven and Schumann on that piano there before you learn the scale? Try it. Oh, I mean, he's going around trying to teach you Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10 and Matthew 24 and Acts 2 and half master John 1. Every time he speaks with a question mark. Now look at here. You know what the devil's interested in? That. You know what the Lord's interested in? On him to love us and die for us and wash us from our sins in his own blood. If you live with the devil, you're going to be evil. And you're bound to be a vile. That's kind of a loose start once you get down to it. And it'll go ill with you, and you wind up in hell. It doesn't take a step of hell. Why did you come down here to the Vatican and then Jerusalem? Are you to see these two cities? No, the two cities of the Bible. The two cities of the Bible are Rome and Jerusalem. In the Bible, you never have to worry about Ephraim. You never have to worry about Hanover. You never have to worry about Washington or Moscow or London or Berlin because they're not going to win plays or show. The two cities in that Bible are Rome, called Mystery Babylon the Great, and Jerusalem. Now, you look at those two cities over there in a place called Vatican. Did you look at that name? What did you say? That big eye right in the middle of it. You know what Paul wants to say? Paul wants to say, I have a Christ given to me. And the life I live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God. And so forth. Can you imagine that, brother? Paul walking in here, and somebody spreading out a red carpet for him, and then Paul sashay down there with his crown on, and hand somebody a diamond sash worth $30,000. You know some of you Yankees haven't got the sense God gave a brass monkey, you know that? You don't know what I'm telling you. How in the world could you confuse a full-up, egotistical liquorhead like that with a Christian? How could you do that? How could you be so stupid? I remember the top-notch rascal coming out there and walking down somebody bowing down, kissing his ring and kissing his feet. Honest to goodness, some of you folks ain't got a way to send me to your kid for. So, well, I believe in preaching against, well, you believe in preaching against hypocrisy and falsehood and lies and stupidity, don't you? What do you believe in preaching against? If you don't believe in preaching against a lie and stupidity and religious hypocrisy, do you believe in preaching against that? You don't come to the past. And you don't come to the past. You know something. Not that they die for men of life, but then the truth is not too far when you say that. Did you know there's only one church? Are you listening? I never realized something kind of big, but people are not going to be more careful. know that, he says, because it said the Lord wiped Jerusalem as a man, turned the dish upside down, and wiped it dry. I said, what do you get out of that? He said, ain't you ever dried some dishes? I said, yeah, I dried some. I give the army in KB, you dry some. He said, how do you dry them? Like this. He said, ain't you ever notice how you wipe dry some? I said, not particularly, so he would dry them like this. Now, after I told that thing, some woman heard me preach, he decided to go home. She might have thought like a preacher telling the truth. And she got home, she got back in the kitchen, and she began to wash dishes. She said to her husband, how about crying for me? I said, okay. She came to the towel, she had a plate, he turned over and pulled it up. She gave up and said, crying. He said, what's the matter? Something wrong? She said, no, crying. She turned over and pulled it up. She can't get up. She said, no. He said, what's eating you in that way? She said, no, crying. I think James Michael says, I wiped Jerusalem as a man, and turned the dish upside down and wiped it dry. Now, this is another one no Hebrew scholar ever found, and I'll bet you that I am in his study. Ain't that strange? Whoever wrote that book had a mind for how people dry dishes. Now, you can explain that. There's no psychiatrist in this town that ever observed that. Yes. Oh, I need to take over here, Joel. You see, Joel, how do you have Joel? The Bible says you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The second fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. You know what's missing from having Christian life today? Joy. Christians have fun, but they don't have any joy. They get this guy got joy down in my heart. They don't have any joy down in my heart. Now, you people here this morning, looking at you right now, you don't have this full of expectation on your face like you're expecting a blessing. Some of you look like you lost your last friend before you came in. The only time your face lights up is when you need a little food to get rid of it. Johnny Carson, you light up like a candle.
Yeah.
That one of these kids are there in some school, and they said, what word do Christians shout when they feel joy? And the answer was, bingo. That's not the answer. The answer's hallelujah. Oh, I need to take this joy. How do you have joy?
Well,
this one may have joy. You put Jesus first, that he may have the greatest of all things. You put others next. The Bible says, but he just seemed the other better than himself. You put yourself last. Now look here. You put yourself ahead of others, you lose the joy. You put others ahead of Jesus Christ, you lose the joy. Jesus first, others next, you last. Every church ought to have a sign out in front of the same. The church where everybody is nobody. Where everybody is nobody, the Lord's everything. That's what the power of God is there. You got to have a humanistic Christianity today. The church for everybody is somebody. God delivers us from that. Let's get a church for everybody and nobody and over everything. There's no way to have joy. You put Jesus over there, and you put you over there, and then you put nothing between you and Jesus. See, nothing between you and Jesus. Now look up here, saved, sure, satisfied. Fact, faith, feeling. Every Christian ought to be saved. He ought to be sure. He ought to be satisfied. How do you get saved? You're saved if you take Christ as your Savior. That's the fact. You're sure you believe what God said. Faith comes by hearing and the Word of God. You're satisfied if you have the right feeling. Feeling has nothing to do with salvation. Feeling is the fruit of salvation. It's not the root of salvation. Look here. You don't trust Christ, you're not saved. You don't believe what God said, you can't be sure. If you don't believe in God, you can't be satisfied. Got it? Folks have said, I want the right feeling. I say, I get the right feeling, it starts with God. Feeling has nothing to do with salvation. You might have feeling you got saved, and next fellow might not have feeling at all. Lady said to me, old Kentucky farm owner, she said, well, brother, she said, I might get saved, but he just ain't struck me right yet. I said, what hasn't struck you right? She said, he just ain't struck me right. I said, what hasn't struck you right? She said, he the line for you to be the final. Long the way and wide of the gates leads to destruction, many will be them when there are. The way of the righteous, the road to life, they may depart from hell beneath. There is a way which seemeth right to man, but then there is the way of death. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The two ways. Christ is one of many ways to get to heaven. He is the way. All the way to be a different place. For example, here comes a bounty for this world. He grows up. He learns how to cuss, learns how to drink, learns how to smoke, learns how to dance, learns how to lie, learns how to steal. He dies and goes to hell. You know why he goes to hell? Goes to hell where he stole. You got a human mind. You're going to eat so much junk, you don't know where you're at.
Yeah.
You know why he goes to hell? You say, go to church. They'll take you, lock you up, you're not safe on the street.
Yeah.
You know why he goes to hell? He's on the wrong way.
Yeah.
Why? Wow. Not from till he goes up here, doesn't drink, doesn't cuss, doesn't smoke, doesn't dance, doesn't dip, doesn't spit, doesn't chew, don't know what them to do. He feels strong to preach, he studies in the ministry 20 years, and passes a large church for 30 years, and dies and goes to hell. You know why he goes to hell? Because he's on the wrong way.
Yeah.
over here, he feeds on magazines. He's a magazine dog. You see this dog here, this dog spends time in prayer. And when you pray, real prayer, you can't see anything, feel anything, smell anything, or hear anything. Prayer crucifies the flesh. When this dog gets in trouble, he tells the Lord about it. When this dog gets in trouble, he gets on the telephone. He's a gossip dog. Use this dog over here. This dog witnesses for Christ. And every time he barks for Jesus Christ, he gets stronger and stronger. And every time he keeps his mouth shut, he gets weaker and weaker. Use this dog over here. This is a TV dog. He's a lot of what to watch from my YouTube. You know, walk that way. Folks, you want what's good, what's bad? Yeah, but you don't watch it, what's good. You watch what's bad, too.
Yeah.
I don't have a TV in my home. I rented one last week for a World Series, and I rented one for the Super Bowl. You got three sons, over 15, you have to, you know, get in a little somewhere. And the rest of time, I keep everything out of my house, stolen in my house. I'll tell you, in a second, by 1960, I kept it for a year and a half. 1961, I had the guy take it out, and I had to call back in again. You say, why? Because if I had one, I'd watch it. I'd have no time to watch it. The Bible says it takes time and days to leave. And some of you people spend half the time you're a Bible news partner, spend for a TV set, you'd be a Bible TV. You spend 2 hours per hour, you gave God 1 hour. I'd say, hey, be a Bible TV, listen to you, don't go do it. I'll tell you something else. You ain't going to go. TV or not TV, that is the question. Okay, now I'm going to close. I'll say this to close. If you want to live miserable, wretched, frustrated, cold, dead, backslidden, critical, fruitless, barren life, feed that dog and starve.